Good morning. The markets are moving and so are you. From the BizNews studios, this is BizNews Daybreak. I'm Alec Hogg. Here's the context you need to win the day. Well, there was a shock to Australia with a mass shooting, which they're calling a terrorist attack. 16 people dead on Bondi Beach. We'll get that from our partners at Bloomberg in just a little moment. Before we get into the day's news, though, let me just update you on where we are as far as the markets are concerned. A good session to close the week on Friday with some really big movers there. Sibanye-Stillwater, I'm looking at that graph right now as I'm talking to you. It's up 8% on Friday, and that takes the gain for the past week to 9%, for the past month to 20%, and year to date, 267%. Man, that's the place to have been in the resources sector. Well, in the week ahead, we've got some big news coming through with inflation here in South Africa. If the inflation rate comes in low, in other words, below 3.6%, well, then watch for a improvement in banks. If, however, it comes in a little high, banks could be in for a sell-off. But resources are running hot at the moment on the JSE. And once again, we saw that happening on Friday. Resources up by 3% with some quite outstanding improvements in individual stocks, as I say, Sibanye-Stillwater. Why didn't we buy that in the beginning of the year? A even better improvement performance on Friday, though, came from one of our favorite stocks, recent addition to the BizNews portfolios, HCI. That is up 7% on Friday. So not quite as good as Sibanye, but 14% on the week. So even better as far as that's concerned. Finally, it appears the story is now starting to be understood and appreciated. Well, let's move on to that big news now from the Australian Bondi Beach shooting. It's a big shock, especially to a country that's not used to this kind of thing. So the Middle Eastern issues spilling over quite significantly all over the world. We'll also hear from Doug Krisner of Bloomberg about the latest and hopefully a breakthrough in the Ukrainian peace talks. They had 5 hours yesterday. They're back at it today. And it does look like Zelensky wants to make a deal.
We begin in Australia, where the country is reeling from a mass shooting at a Hanukkah celebration on Sydney's Bondi Beach. 16 people were killed and dozens more injured. This attack now has been officially designated as a terrorist attack. During a press briefing, New South Wales Police Commissioner Mal Lanyon confirmed the assailants were related.
We are satisfied that there were two offenders involved in yesterday's incident. One is deceased. The second is in critical but stable condition in hospital at the moment. The offenders are a 50-year-old and 24-year-old male who are father and son.
Previously, Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese announced that Australia would formally recognise a Palestinian state. Meantime, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the Australian government failed to protect Jews despite a previous warning from the Israeli government.
It pours fuel on the anti-Semitic fire. It encourages the Jew hatred now stalking your streets. Anti-Semitism is a cancer. It spreads when leaders stay silent. You must replace weakness with action.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Then in a statement from Netanyahu's office, the government said one Israeli citizen was among the dead. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has made several concessions to Russia in an effort to advance peace talks. Zelensky met in Germany on Sunday with President Trump's negotiators, and he made it clear that Ukraine was willing to compromise on certain issues. Zelensky said Ukraine would give up on its hopes to join NATO, at least for now, as long as it won security guarantees from the U.S. to prevent Russia from again invading if a peace deal was reached. However, Zelensky also repeated that Ukraine was not willing to cede territory it now controls, as the Trump administration has suggested.
On the political front, big news coming out of Chile yesterday, where a far-right candidate cruised into the presidency. He is someone who's well-known. Our partners at the Financial Times had this insight into Chile's new president and actually why he got elected.
So Chile was always one of the most kind of stable and boring countries in Latin America. And then in 2019, it looked like that might all radically change. We had these massive protests over the cost of living and inequality, and eventually the election of Gabriel Boric, who's a left-wing former student leader and the current president, who wanted to kind of build out a bigger welfare state and change the model. The mood has really swung back in the last couple of years. Boric has been unable to pass many of his reforms because he has a minority coalition. Chile has experienced a really big increase in organized crime. So Chileans are feeling kind of unsafe and angry and coming back to these kind of basic political issues like security and the economy rather than, you know, the economic model and more ambitious questions like that. Cast started out in politics in the kind of main right-wing bloc as a lawmaker, but he left in 2016 to found a party further to the right because he felt that the establishment had become kind of too soft. And he has been preaching a very kind of severe law and order message and also really focusing on immigration, because Chile's immigrant population has really, really grown since around 2018 as a result of Venezuela's economic collapse. You have almost 50% more immigrants in Chile today than you did back then. And that has caused a lot of anxiety in some communities, especially because it has coincided with the crime wave. And Cast has really benefited from that.
What are likely to be his real first policy priorities?
So he has said he will focus on crime, immigration, and the economy. He wants to make big spending cuts, cut regulations and taxes, because he says that's essential for Chile to recover the levels of economic growth that it used to see. And then he wants to crack down on the gangs in a kind of tough, kind of classic law and order formula of more severe sentences for criminals and beefing up security forces. And then I would say his flagship policy is to block irregular migrants from coming into Chile, using a barrier on the border, and then the detention and deportation en masse of those already in Chile. And I'd say most of those policies have quite broad support, actually, among the more moderate right-wing parties that he'll need to negotiate with in Congress. But they will still have to get support from some centrist lawmakers. So I think you could see the most radical ideas will probably be watered down.
The FT's Kira Nugent for us. Thanks so much for wrapping this up.
Thanks very much, Victoria.
Onto stock movers of the past week. Carol Mazar and friends had a focus on two shares in particular, Oracle and Warner Brothers Discovery.
I'm Carol Master along with Tim Stenovic. Let's get to some of the stocks on the move this past week. Back with us is Bloomberg News equities reporter Jordan Fitzgerald. We're going to start with Oracle, aren't we?
Seems like the obvious place. Oracle shares did fall about 12.7% this week. That was the worst week for the stock since 2018. So it's been a while since Oracle's fell even 12%. Earnings did disappoint. They are spending more money than they're bringing back, and it has made investors concerned. And again, investors had high hopes. Last time Oracle reported, the stock actually had its best week since 1999. And so investors went into this thinking it's going to be another party. We're going to learn some great information about AI, and that's actually not what materialized. Also, we got the news today that Oracle may be delaying some OpenAI data centers from 2027 to 2028, which already added to this pre-existing bearish sentiment.
Although Oracle's kind of pushed back, right? I think
they have, yes.
This pushback or story about a pushback in those data centers.
We'll find out in 2027 or 2028.
Yeah, exactly.
Mark
good
it
point.
On your calendar.
Good point.
I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention just the control that Larry Ellison has of Oracle stock and how much of his own personal net worth. He's number three on the, excuse me. Now he's number five. It's been updated just in the last few hours.
There's one point he was the world's richest man.
But, you know, I looked at this an hour ago and he was number three. Now he's number five.
So they updated after the bell.
Okay, yeah. There we go.
A rebalancing, if you will.
So Larry Ellison's now the fifth wealthiest person in the world with a net worth of $242 billion. If I look at the HDS function, $220 billion of those dollars are tied up in Oracle stock. He owns more than 40%. Of the outstanding shares.
Yeah, and the sentiment on Wall Street certainly has been negative. If you look at some of the price targets from the analyst community, they've been falling post-earnings.
So Elon's the richest.
Just some nervousness.
By the way, Elon in case anyone... Richest. Yeah,
$470 It's always like, he's there, he's
and I'm sure
there.
Elon has been thrilled to see Larry Ellison fall. He said, you ousted me once, not again.
Well, speaking of Larry Ellison and the Ellison family, let's get to Warner Brothers Discovery.
Yes, because I think I set you guys up for an easy transition with these
you
picks.
You did. You're the best. Thank you.
But yes, Larry Ellison also has said that he would back his son's attempts to purchase Warner Brothers. So he's involved in more than Oracle sometimes. But yes, Warner Brothers shares up 15% this week. The shares did close at a record high today, and this does follow last week's news that Netflix was attempting to acquire Warner Brothers, and earlier this week when Paramount's guidance said, we want to do a hostile takeover.
Right, and we know the president's been weighing in, too, about what a deal looks like, and his son-in-law is involved, right? Investment firm in the Paramount offer. I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces.
Yeah,
a lot
Affinity of Partners. Financial offer. Affinity Partners of Jared Kushner's firm. Yeah.
And if Warner Brothers shareholders do choose to go with Paramount, they have until January to decide that, and then the Netflix takeover would be a moot point.
Wow.
Looking to the week ahead, expect a choppy start. It's a short trading week with markets closed tomorrow for the Day of Reconciliation. That also bumps out our year-end BizNews webinar, investment webinar looking at our portfolios. It's not going to be tomorrow. We're not breaking into your public holiday. It will be on Wednesday. So join us, premium members, on Wednesday. You can get the link in the premium newsletter. The big number to watch locally comes on the same day, on Wednesday, with the release of the November CPI inflation data. As mentioned earlier in the report, that's going to affect bank share prices. The Rand is firm, though. It's been doing very well. We are now comfortably below 17 to the US dollar. And as I speak to you this morning, the Rand is sitting at 16.87. It also as strong against other currencies as well. For the alternatives, not so good, though, with Bitcoin. I mean, the people who follow the alternatives. Bitcoin at, again, below $90,000 this morning, 89,413. And now you have the edge. For the full interviews and the details behind these stories, head over to biznews.com. I'm Alec Hogg. Thank you for starting your morning with us. Now go and seize the day.